This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on to your next topic, we just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Plus, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the final episode of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. Rebecca has made her choice, and she has decided that she doesn't need any man. We're going to talk all about that, plus what she's going to do for her future.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hey, everybody, it is the final episode here of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
I'm not ready. I was so emotional on Friday.
I know. I couldn't watch it right away. I had to take some time.
Yeah. I watched it right when it was Pacific time, and I was like, I'm going to sit here tonight on Friday. I'm not going to go out. I'm going to watch this live so I feel like I'm a part of, you know, history. I don't know.
I couldn't watch
Cheesy,
it. I couldn't watch it live.
I couldn't help it.
I started watching it, and then that little opening, I was like, nope, I need some time.
I was tweeting, like, a couple things. I tweeted something right before it started because Crazy Ex-Girlfriend really means a lot to me. And I've told you this multiple times. I feel like it led so much with diversity in casting for a primetime show that not only gave people of color chances, but they also did things that you don't usually see on primetime TV.
Yeah, and we're... Yeah, and we'll get all into our thoughts on the overall coverage of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend as a whole, seasons 1 through 4. We're going to talk about this specific episode, what came to pass, why she chose not to choose any of these men, and also what she wants to do now with her future. Plus, we're going to talk about the concert that they played right after the show, episode technically 18. We're also going to get into our... I guess we don't really have predictions, but we will get into our news segment, which we have some great news for you guys, plus our favorite songs from all 4 seasons. And
I forgot to open up with your genius. You said this was going to happen, and it happened. I'll just leave it like that. We'll talk about it.
But before we do that, I am your host, Brianna Phipps, and I'm not here alone. It is my main man, my Filipino brother. It is Nino Linera.
I'm not Josh Chan, but hello.
You are in studio, Josh Chan,
I'm in studio, Josh Chan, and you're in studio, Rebecca. Bex. Okay, perfect. That works out for me. Hey, guys, it's your boy, Nino, and I am very, very sad because this is the series finale of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, but I'm happy with the way it ended.
Okay, so let's talk about that. What is your thoughts on how they decided to end this show?
So, initially, obviously, we were going with our little bet that we were going to figure out if it was Josh for me and if it was Greg for you. That's kind of been the battle throughout the past couple seasons.
Since season one.
I've had
some fluctuations in between.
Right, because our uncertainty, just as their characters had uncertainty.
Left, I wasn't sure if I could really be Team Greg. I still kind of stuck it up.
Exactly.
So I was like, he's gonna.
But you've
back.
Held Team Greg since you started this show.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
And you've held Team Josh.
And I held Team Josh, and I thought that's where it was going to be. And Nathaniel kind of just floated away somewhere.
But Nathaniel was a distraction.
A distraction. There you go. A good distraction, though. But yeah, overall, I thought that I'm happy with the way it ended because I think she needs to work on herself, and that's the most important part, because if you can't love yourself first and you can't figure out yourself first, how are you going to do the same and reciprocate that same love to somebody else?
Yeah, I am happy with how they decided to end it, and I do like the very last line we get, which we'll talk about at the end. But you know, there is still like these little heartstrings in me that's like, wait, we don't know the full story. I want to know what happens next. And
yeah,
we don't get to see that,
and it's crazy because they kind of almost left it a little open-ended with some certain characters, because there could be some ways where maybe it could draw back and with revivals or a Broadway show or something like that, or a special, Crazy Ex-Girlfriend movie special that they were talking about. I don't know if they were joking or not. But if that could happen, I feel like they could pick it up and they could mess around with it, which makes me hopeful for other things. But nonetheless, at this point in time, I'm happy with the way she chose.
Okay. Well, let's get into this episode as a whole. So we start off our episode with the fact that she's made this big decision and she's going to present it on Valentine's Day.
Forever winter season on this season.
And we kind of get this little gem of her and Paula back at her house right afterwards, where she helps Paula out. And for the very first time, it seems.
Yes.
Because I think that she has kind of helped her other times, but this one like is a very unselfish.
Exactly.
She has no ulterior motive that brings it back to her. Mm-hmm. She tells Paula what she can do with her problem that she has. And Paula lets her know that. She's like, oh my God, you did it right.
Yeah. Without having to go back and forth, without having to beat around the bush with a problem that she might have as well, too. It was just straight up, this is Paula's time. This is Paula's problem, and I'm going to solve it for you.
I like that right after that. She's like, is it okay and proper for me to talk about myself now?
Yeah, exactly.
And she's like, yes, we've finished my...
Now's the time.
And so she has this issue where she's like, I can't choose. It's 11 a.m. and I can't choose between these three guys.
Yeah.
And we'll go into the full song and our thoughts on the actual number later, but she does her little drift off like she does.
Right, her little out into the sunset type of look or one of little Paula, daydream
like, and we learn, even though I think we pretty much assumed this, but... Paula's like, oh, you're doing that thing you do. All right, I'm just going to play on my phone.
Right.
And she asks her afterwards, where do you go? Where is this place in your mind that you're at when you do these drift offs? And she lets Paula in on the secret that she's writing these musical numbers in her head about herself.
Yeah, I love that they brought the fantasy factor to the whole situation and made it kind of real for us or whatnot. I mean, we always see they go off into tangents, into singing or whatnot, and this is all in Rachel's head. And now it's coming full circle. And she's like, let me show you what I think.
The funny part now is, though, that you have to get... Now I kind of want to rewatch the series, because now you have to go back through the whole series, because there's numbers without Rebecca in them, and where she's not even involved. And I'm like, so was this just what you were assuming was happening at that moment?
Mm-hmm. I mean, it could be. That's true. I want to go back and watch the seasons now. And you can watch all the seasons on Netflix, by the way.
Except for season three. We had a little dip off on that.
Exactly.
Oh, Netflix, you can watch the actual show. Sorry, I thought you meant our after show. Our after show, you can watch seasons.
Right. We have season three and four. Craziest Girlfriend highlight reels, but just watch season one and two on YouTube on AfterBuzz TV.
So she kind of clues Paula into that, you know, this is what I do. And Paula's like, that's... amazing.
Yeah.
You need to do this.
Right. You need a pen and paper. Where's your pen and paper? And
you get need to write these down.
Yeah. And I like this is where I said in the beginning of this show, you're a genius because you predicted this a couple weeks ago and you're like, this would be interesting if it ended this way. And it just built up that way. So are you secretly a writer for Crazy Ex-Girlfriend? You just never told me these four seasons?
I am declining to answer that question at this time.
You're pleading the fifth. I'm going to have to ask you off camera later.
But she realizes, and this is what we've said all along, she needed to figure out who she was.
Yes. Yeah.
We've been saying that since season one. We've said it in different ways. You know, we always had that funny little game with me, you, and Trinae, where you were Team Josh, I was Team Greg, and she's like, I'm Team Mental Health.
I'm Team Mental Health. And she was so right.
She was so right. Yeah. Yeah. And this is her passion. This is what she's always been passionate about, and she needed to fully realize this was her butter. And it kind of clues into that in the very beginning of the series because when she sees it, it goes, I'm in love. And like,
look at all these little...
There's musical numbers happening in her head as soon as she sees that. So like, that's almost a clue for us, I feel like, to be like, music. Music is her love.
Look at all these little nuances.
I know. We need to rewatch this whole series
again. Really?
Luckily, we can.
I know. Exactly. I think it's always better the second time around when you get to see more and more things.
Where you notice, like, because this has been, you told me that this has been their plan from the very beginning.
This has been their plan from the get. Like, this is what, they knew that it was going to end like this. I'll talk about it more in news or whatnot, but they knew it was going to be here. They knew it was going to be at this bar.
They've probably been dropping little hints that we maybe didn't realize throughout the entire series.
Exactly. But that's also super tough when you know exactly how you want it to end, but then you have to try to appease to what the fans might want to see and things like that.
I think they kind of always did their own thing, and which is why when they broke Daryl up and White Josh, that they had that whole song of like the group hive wants you to be in love, and they're like, nope, but you're not.
Yeah.
Like, fans, we know this is what you want. We're not doing it. Exactly. Sorry.
Because this is real life.
This is real life.
Sorry, but yeah.
And that's what's great about Crazy Ex-Girlfriend is that they've always had their own vision. They've always done what they want to do.
Yes.
And we always get to talk about it, don't we, Nina?
All the time. And I'm so happy that we always get to talk about it, guys. So, hey, guys, before we move on to our next topic, we just wanted to say thank you for making us the ESPN of TV Talk. For us to continue to grow, we could use your help. Please make sure you're to subscribe to one of our YouTube channels. We have the comedy channel, the reality TV channel, and a whole bunch of others. Just go ahead and search it on YouTube. Give us a rating on iTunes as well, too. The 5 stars really does help us all the time, so we could know what we're doing wrong. Give us a comment as well, too, because you could let us know what your thoughts are on the episode, what you might want to see as well. Everyone who commented on the last week's episode, thank you so much for talking to us, and I'm glad we got to interact with you guys as well, too. Being a part of AfterBuzz TV has meant so much to me. I know it's meant a lot to you. This show has meant a lot to us as well, too, and we're so happy we're able to live out our dreams and do this every single day. So thank you for all for supporting us and letting us do what we love.
Yeah, thank you guys so much. And AfterBuzz really is a place where it lets us be able to come in here, hone our skills, be hosts, mm-hmm. get footage for future and help develop our careers, and helping keep this channel and this studio alive helps us, and that's what you can do to help with
that's
that.
The key. Talk to us, guys. Rate us, comment, give us a like, share the video as well too. And yeah. We just want to know what you guys think. Interact with us. Let's talk.
Yeah, we love talking with you guys. We have a couple people that like watching right now. I know we have someone in the couple people in the chat.
Who is it? I'm trying to pull up the chat.
We have Yamil Jury, who says Nathaniel Sadface. And we have Kalo saying that was her butter.
That was her butter. See?
That was her butter.
I love it.
So let's get into these guys, because we find out very shortly that she is we're a year in the future when she is doing this Valentine's Day thing, and that her decision was a year in the past.
Right.
And
this is when I tweeted out, like, what is going on?
What is happening? And we kind of see her meeting with each of the guys and letting them each down.
Yeah, exactly.
What did you think of how she let each guy down?
I mean, I think she did great for each person. I mean, she told them it's not you. This is just my decision right now, but it's not you. And I think the way she told them, it just happened so fast, because like she told Josh and all of a sudden Josh had his stuff and he was like going. I mean, it was a couple days later, I think, but
I don't know.
Just
I
the
think
way,
they were wearing the same outfits.
Were they in the same outfits? And he was like, I'm gone.
Yeah. I think he was just, I'm out.
Wow. That's crazy. Nonetheless. I mean, the way she told them, I think,
would you want to stick in that house with the girl you love just told you no?
No, probably not. But dang, that same day. Wow.
I don't know. Maybe he just didn't have a lot of stuff to really pack up.
And, I mean, for $80 a month in rent, I mean, why not?
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's crazy. Let me find something like that out here in L.A. I won't ever leave.
Right.
Goodness gracious. But, yeah, the way she talked to each guy, I thought was super respectful. And I think, you know, was great. She didn't beat around the bush. She said it how it was. And it was nice. It was heartfelt for each one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like with Josh, she just basically said what I've been saying all along, which is that she's not the right girl for him.
Yeah.
And I love that she gave him that, you know, you're ready now.
Yeah.
And you're going to find someone amazing.
You've evolved and you've moved on.
Mm-hmm, and we see him like, you know, now 1 year later, he's with another girl and she's like, she's a lot. and then with Nathaniel, she kind of gives him that extra push he needs to like really do what he wants to do with his life, because he's also not doing what he wants and he's not being true to himself.
Exactly.
So he takes a sabbatical and he goes off and works in a different country and helps people. And, you know, we've seen Nathaniel evolve so much.
Yeah.
I think for Nathaniel, even though he helped Rebecca grow a little bit, I think for that relationship, he really needed her more than she
definitely
needed him.
I mean, he was always a yes man to his dad.
Mm-hmm.
And you saw how in that scene how hard it was for him to say, Dad, I'm quitting. I'm doing this. You know, and how long it's taken just for him to stand up for himself.
And it's so like heartbreaking, but it's also so funny that like, because she questions herself for a split second when he's like, oh, I had this huge diamond ring and the horse.
I know, she was like, wait.
And then with Greg, and this is why I am still team Greg, because she did not close the door on Greg. He told her, I'm not going to wait. And she basically said, I don't want you to. But he was the only one that we saw her actually explain it to.
Right.
He was the only one that she was like, I can't be with you right now because I need to do this.
Right.
And it wasn't like, I'm not the right girl from you. I'm not the right girl for you. I could be the right girl from you, but I need to do this right now.
Here's my rebuttal. Remember when Josh came with his new girlfriend into the club, and the new girlfriend said she was a lot, and he had this twinkle in his eye, and he said, yeah, she is, but that's who she is.
But she told him.
I know, but you know.
And Greg is still single.
I know. I'm just saying.
We saw that. White Joe was like, I'm not going to be happy until all of you are married.
Right. You know, but I'm just saying, I think, you know, he still has a twinkle for her.
He might still have a twinkle for her. I think she's still on Greg.
Okay. We'll just leave it like that. I mean, we both didn't get lunch. We can just go out to lunch together.
Just go out to lunch together. Yeah. But yeah, so she lets kind of Greg know, like, this is what I need to do at this moment. And she moves forward. And we saw her make this decision because of a dream she had on the toilet in the beginning of the episode.
After drinking her green juice from Josh.
So she's on the toilet. She falls asleep. And she kind of sees a future to each of these men. They're great futures. Yeah. But for whatever reason, she's not happy in any of them.
Yeah.
And again, the Greg Rebecca is the one that tells her why. I'm just saying. I'm just throwing it out there.
The ghostly kind of scary one.
She said, you don't know who you are, which is what leads her to the decision that she needs to write the musical.
Right.
She needs to write down at least her musical ideas.
I'm also glad we saw Dr. Akopian again.
Yes.
For Dream Doctor.
I like that she's like, oh, this isn't real.
Right.
You're a dream ghost.
I have an answer for you. Oh, okay.
She's like, you're not going to make me figure it out. but yet she still has to.
Right.
So now we're here. 1 year later, she's in the Valentine's Day bar. She's giving this long speech. And she's, you know, every single person is getting something. We kind of get clued into everybody's life. We know that Valencia is married now. And we know that Daryl is expecting a child and Mary. He had a wedding ring on as well.
Yeah.
Hector and Heather have their hot tub.
They have the jacuzzi. Their koozie is ready to rumble.
Paula stood her ground and got her way.
Yeah.
So she gets to now work for the people with the prison and still help people while still keeping her fancy job with lots of money.
Yeah, that was that was inspiring.
That was.
Go out for what you want, and if you can't have it, really stand your ground.
And it was so nice having Rebecca talk to these people and tell them why they mean so much to her.
Yeah.
And because, again, like, this whole theme of this episode was that while she was finding her, it took her figuring out who she was to be there for everybody else.
Right. What about the whole YJO thing? They just did not like each other the whole time? That's just so funny to me.
I mean, that wasn't a surprise. We know he's been like, why are all my friends
in love with this girl? Yeah, like, that's true.
Everyone else kind of came around. He never really did.
Right. He'll always be on that fence. Probably never going to cross over.
And what did she say? She said respect. And he's like, that's not appropriate.
They're still fighting till the end.
Respect. You know. To each his own.
To each his own. Que sera, that's sera. True. Exactly. Potato, potato.
But yeah, so then she lets everyone know, I have written down songs. I've been taking singing lessons and piano lessons and really honing my skills in this. And now I'm going to debut for you a song that I have written. And that was her last six words here is a song that I wrote.
And those last six words are really, actually, I'll save that for news and gossip because that was really special, I think.
Stick around for the news and gossip. Yeah. It sounds really juicy.
Yeah. It's nice to hear. Yeah.
Yeah. And then it goes black. We don't get to hear the songs. And like, I know some people might be upset because they want to know what the song was going to be, but you know what? We've heard all these songs.
Yeah.
We've heard 157 songs now know is the number.
We want to see the past four seasons. So I'm happy that the way they ended with those words and it dimmed out. And then what I wish did happen, though, that there was no commercials in between. It just went straight into, because I watched it from the CW that, you know, I actually watched it like live on Friday. And I was hoping that it was just going to go straight into an open musical number.
Yeah.
And then I think that would have just seamlessly made it a little bit more like, oh, wow, okay, this is it. This is her story. This is her. But they opened up with her having a little bit of a monologue and crying.
So my prediction wasn't 100% on because I said that the concert was going to be her musical. But it wasn't. But it was still good enough for me.
Yeah, I still think you're a genius. I'll give it to you.
But yeah, so that was kind of the episode.
Yeah.
And it's so weird to think of where we came from and where we ended.
Yeah.
Instead, 4 years.
4 years. My fourth year anniversary for AfterBuzz is going to be this August.
Oh, man.
Wow. This is one of the first shows that I started with that I went all the way through, and the first ever series that I've ever had a series finale for.
Wow.
All the other shows got canceled or are still going. So, I mean,
I love this show. I was on board from the beginning. I'm a musical theater nerd and I love Broadway. And so when I saw a musical show, I was right in.
Yeah.
And then the messages that she became across, like, so many people have talked to me that know me and they tell me, this is you.
Yeah.
Like, not so much like Rebecca, but like just what she does throughout the show. They're like, this is totally you. Like, this is your show.
You connect with it on such, on that type of level. And I think, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I think you do too in a different way. And that's what's great about the show.
And I think a lot of people do connect with it in certain ways. Because she talks about topics that aren't talked about, like I mentioned. She brings things up that are almost taboo to people. Mm-hmm. And she's not afraid to share it or whatnot. Yeah,
she's brought to light mental health and talked about parts of that that no one wants to talk about. Or are parts of it that people should talk about.
Exactly.
She's talked about LGBTQ community and brought that in a way. She talked about... you know, people of color and brought them into her show and women and what they go through. And she did it all so seamlessly.
Yeah.
Nothing felt forced. No. Nothing felt like we're doing this because we need to.
Yeah.
It felt like just her story.
Exactly.
And
she did it. So she did it with such entertainment value to it. I think that's another thing too. It's so hard to talk about something so serious and not have it come off like as a lecture. Mm-hmm. And this came off as like,
and she did it and she made fun of it in a way that didn't make fun of it.
Exactly. She made fun of it in a way that it brought it to light.
Yeah.
The attention to light to the situation. And I think that's what's so great about it. And like you said, there's so many layers and so many ways people can connect to this actual show that I think is why the vice president of CW fought so hard for the show to stay on the whole time.
I mean, and she said it in the show. She was reading that book on how to write songs, and it was like, you need to write your story.
Yeah.
You can't write someone else's story. Like, you can, but it has to also be you.
And as corny
there has to be parts of you in
exactly.
it.
And as corny as it gets, people always say, the best way to succeed is authenticity, but it's so true. The more authentic that you are to yourself and to your audience and to what you put out there, the more people connect with you and want to listen to your story and want to watch what you create and the content you create. And I think that really worked out for Rachel.
And one of the tweets that Rachel put out on that day was, one day a girl named Rebecca Bunch was working hard in a New York job when some writers dropped in from the sky and forced her to make some drastic decisions for the sake of a TV show. Tonight at 8/7 Central, you'll see those writers leave her life.
I'm crying already. I don't like. It's done.
Like, it's such a powerful way to put it, though, is like, in any TV show, you're dropped into someone's life for a certain period of time.
Yeah.
And some people, that's their whole life because the show ends with their death or something, or they die throughout it. But it's true. You're dropped in for a certain period of time and then we leave.
Yeah.
And the rest of their life is up to interpretation of whatever we want it to be.
Yeah, it's so true.
Until they do another one and then tell you what happened. And sometimes you don't always like that.
Exactly.
But yeah, I think we got to see a really cool journey.
Definitely. All four seasons. I mean, and she expected this to only last 1 to 2 years. And it was a little bit more. She wanted the story to be told a little bit more. She got more opportunity to tell the story. And she took that. But she knew when to stop. And she knew when it was... It needed to stop where it needed to be.
I mean, she said from the beginning that it was only ever going to be 4 to 5 seasons.
Yeah.
Do you think if the ratings had been better, she would have gone for a 5th season? Or do you think that she ended where she wanted to end? Or would I'm just like asking if maybe she was afraid of a cancellation and ended so that she can make sure she ended it the right way.
No, I think she knew when she wanted to end. I think even if the ratings were higher, I think she knew where the story could have gone and pushed the writers to go as far as they can with it. And you know, I felt like they had a slump somewhere in between at times, and they picked it back up obviously, and we saw them pick it back up. So I think they knew that this was the time where it was good to end it. And I think it ended in such a great way.
What are your thoughts on when she said that now she's ready for love in the more traditional sense of the word, because she found love in writing these songs down and maybe potentially creating a show out of them.
Yeah.
And now she might be ready in the more traditional sense and looks around the room and we see her look at Josh, Nathaniel, and Greg.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other side of the room. And...
what did I think about the whole thing?
I just want to know what you thought about, like, the other side of the room. The guy's kind of being like, whoa. Then her just still, like, smiling pleasantly, like, maybe.
I mean, that's why I liked it, because it left it open-ended. Like, this could be a TV special, like she mentioned. This could be a reworking of a series later on down the lines, if people want to see it or whatnot. Maybe it'll get on Showtime this time, and she could even do more, you know what I mean, with it.
I like it, though, because I like the fact that whether you were Team Greg, Team Josh, Team Nathaniel, Team Her Alone, like, you can end her story now whichever way you wanted to. Because I can make the argument of why Greg is the one for her still now down the line. You can make the argument of why Josh is.
Yeah.
Someone can make the argument of why Nathaniel is.
Hmm.
Someone could.
Someone could, though, yeah.
They'd be wrong.
Right. But, yeah, no, I mean, I think it's where it needed to be, and the way it all came together was a perfect way for it to end, and it made me satisfied with where I wanted it to go.
Okay.
Because I think even if it were to go a different way when she would choose, and even if I was wrong, if it wasn't Josh and if it was Greg or Nathaniel or whatnot, nonetheless, I think just everything that they brought to the show would have still made me happy because that's what I'll be remembering.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, this is how I'm glad it ended.
Yeah. Let's talk about the musical number. So one of our segments we do on the show is we break down each musical number in the show. This time we only got one.
Yeah.
Which was the 11 o'clock number.
Tell me about that, please. Because I mean, I loved it for once. Like, I love the sequence. I love that they had it on almost like a Hamilton-like Lazy Susan type look. Mm-hmm. Like, and things are moving around. And she was just there. Like you said, I thought the blue dress was just going to pop on her in between the sequences. But also to see her multiple personalities right there in front of her face and what she was thinking in her head kind of brought to light her disorder as well, too, for me. Mm-hmm. But I like the song.
Yeah, I mean, the song basically was embodying the fact that she looked down at her clock when she's trying to make the decision, and it's 11 a.m. Mm-hmm. And in theater, how she posed it, it's exactly right, is that shows used to start at 8:30 p.m. instead of 8 p.m. was when they start now. Mm-hmm. And that around 11 o'clock is when you got the really big show-stopping number. I pulled up a couple.
Almost like the climax of the show.
Yeah, like, so I pulled up a couple different ones that people may know, so Guys and Dolls, it was Sit Down, You're Rocking the Boat was the 11 o'clock number. From Cats, it was Memory. How to Succeed in Best Business Without Really Trying, it was that song. Gimme from Thoroughly Modern Millie. Sorry, Brotherhood of Man was Succeed in Business. Gimme from Thoroughly Modern Millie. Another National Anthem from Assassins. The American Dream from Miss Saigon. I'm Here from A Color Purple. Mm-hmm. Always Starting Over, If Then. So those are kind of like the show-stopping numbers. The numbers that are the really big belty numbers, the ones that you go home kind of singing.
Right.
Those are the 11 o'clock number in Broadway shows. Now they happen later because... Right. Or earlier, sorry, because we start earlier.
Right.
But that's what it's referring to. And in this song, she's singing about, it's 11 o'clock and I have to make a choice and what do I choose?
Mm-hmm.
And as we see, her entire life basically is coming through her, which is all these costumes.
Mm-hmm.
And she's unraveling the fact that she's been in her head, and usually her head makes her figure out what to do. And right now, she can't.
Right.
And it takes Paula getting in her head to figure it out.
Right. Yes. I don't know. I loved it all. It was definitely an 11 o'clock song.
Mm-hmm.
But it also, the way it's described and the way it happened, it gave me anxiety just trying to figure out which way she's going to go. But I also felt like I knew at that point that it was going to be her. Even before, you know, she says that it was just, she's choosing her.
Yeah. I felt like at the last episode or that we talked about last week, we were so like, I don't think she's going to end up alone. They're really setting it up to be one of these guys. And the beginning of this episode was like, she is going to be alone.
That pivotal point when it was just her realizing that she really needs to find herself. I'm like, she can't do that she can't find love until she finds herself. And she has to be alone.
Yeah.
And boom, she was alone.
Yep. And that's what she needed to do at that moment. And I really liked this montage as we got throughout it, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was so bittersweet, but it made me smile just, like, looking at the outfit and then flashing back to when that outfit was used. And
yeah.
It was very bittersweet.
I'm sad that it's over. I keep on thinking about it. I've been thinking about it since Friday, honestly. But I think that's the greatest thing. I mean, they had an interview, and they were talking about lasting impacts, you know, and there's so many different memories that you're going to remember. We're going to talk about our favorite songs throughout the past four seasons soon. But there are so many different parts of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend that you're always going to remember, especially if, you know, obviously if you're a fan or whatnot. There are moments that you're always going to remember. So I feel like they were hoping that they're going to get that lasting impact, and I think they did.
Yeah.
For the fans that stood with them the whole time or whatnot, people who are going to watch it, they're always going to remember something.
And it definitely must have been hard for everybody on set with that, too. Like, watching all those costumes, especially her, especially yeah. Rachel, like, watching those costumes go by.
Yeah, taking your archive costumes out and...
Like, when I did shows that lasted only, like, 3 months, leaving was hard.
Yeah.
This has been 4 years.
Right.
And this is not just a show she was in. This was a show she created and she wrote and she directed parts of it and mm-hmm. she show ran and acted and this literally was her, every single part.
Her baby from pitch, from concept to pitch to delivery to end. This was all her. So that's, I mean, just imagine, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Just imagine. I feel like this is a good part to, like, this was part of my music gossip, but I feel like I should put it in this part.
Okay.
The last six words were the last six words that she used for her pitch. It ended, aww. Her pitch ended with, exactly, I had to say it now. It makes more sense to say it now.
That's so sad.
The last six words she said on the show was the last six words that she pitched for the show to be put on air.
What, so which song did she sing after she said?
She didn't. What I read from the article, she just said those words, and that's how it basically fades to black. And then, you know, that was it.
Aww.
So, like, you can just imagine the way she pitched it. She condensed everything all together, obviously, right? And she always knew this is how it was going to end. So you could see how this could be stretched out to a TV series. You could see how this could be stretched out to a 2.5-hour show on Broadway or maybe even a TV movie.
Yeah.
Because she knew from beginning to end what it was going to be like. The stuff that's in the middle could be left up
for interpretation.
Exactly. And given the length of time that she has, obviously for the live musical stuff, she knows she only had 42 minutes, so she couldn't do it all.
Speaking of the songs, let's talk about it, because we said in lieu of doing the crazy meter, which we usually do, we rate her on a scale of 1 to 10 on how crazy she was. I don't find her to be crazy anymore.
Not at all.
She has lost that title. She has graduated.
Yes.
So instead, we're going to go through with you guys our favorite song. It was really hard, but we picked one for each season that was our favorite from each season of the show. So we each have four songs. If you guys want to chime in on some of your favorites in the chat, feel free. We would love to hear from you. Nino, do you want to start us off with season one? Well, let's go back and forth like that.
Okay, perfect. Can I have an honorable mention?
Sure.
Okay, great.
I'll do it at the very end. We'll do the seasons first.
So for season one, I was really tough, really pulling between Settle For Me and West Covina. But I'm going to say West Covina because that's a song that kind of just... From the trailer, from what I first saw, and from the teaser that they put out there as a cold open, I was like, I really, really, really like this, and I really want to watch it. So I'm going to say West Covina for season one.
Okay. I was also going between Settle For Me. Don't Settle For Me is the reprise.
Yeah.
In another song, but I went with the other song as well, and I chose California Christmas Time.
Oh, I like that one too.
It's one of my favorite songs to sing in the car, for one. I am from California, so a lot of it resonates with me personally.
Yeah.
But also, it's one of the only numbers where every single part of the cast is in it.
Oh, I like that. Okay.
So that I loved watching that one.
Very cool. Very cool.
Season two,
because I feel like this just, I resonate with this because I'm a Southern California boy.
Okay.
And I used to hear this all the time, and I never understood what it was, because in by the beach area we got it sometimes, but not all the time. Santa Ana Winds.
Okay.
Santa Ana Winds. Not until I went to college and I lived in Long Beach, California, and Santa Ana is right around the corner, and I finally felt those crazy gust of winds and or whatnot. That's when I figured out what Santa Ana Winds were. But I just love the doo-wop-ness of the song, kind of 50s vibe of the song. The Jersey Boys type of vibe. So, yeah, Santa Ana Winds.
My season two song goes to It Was a Bleep Show.
very nice.
I just, Frank Sinatra is one of my favorites. It was my grandma's favorite. Ooh. I grew up with him. And I loved that vibe that we got. Plus, it was Greg's Goodbye, like the original Greg's Goodbye. Yeah. And I thought it was such a well done song. It was such a sweet song that also was so not sweet.
Yeah.
And it was the perfect way for Greg to leave.
I like that. Very nice. First season three, I have to give it up to the girl group Forever. Let's Generalize About Men. I think that's always going to be a standout, not just because of the actual song, but the musical number and the costumes. When I think of season three, I'm going to think of that song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's Generalize About Men was, I almost went with that one.
Really? What was yours?
Because I do love that song. And, and I, the only reason I chose it different is because I thought that this was so well done was the end of the movie.
Oh, yeah, that was a good one, too. Which we don't have online anymore.
Which we can't get.
which we can't find.
But I thought it was just so, like, that I felt like that was the show being like, look, we're telling you a story about real life. We're not going to necessarily do what you want to do. That was like their first kind of shove in our face of that.
Yeah.
And it was so true. Like everything they were saying is so true. It's like you want these things to happen in life and they don't.
Yeah.
And you have to be okay with it because people aren't characters. People are people and they're going to make choices that don't make any sense. They're going to do things that don't make any sense. And they're going to make bad decisions. Mm. And that's life.
You're right. Season four. Okay, so I was pushing between the antidepressant song because I thought that was such a clever song and it was such a big, you know, I love the big dance breaks, the big cast type of songs or whatnot. But I also really, really like No One Else Is Singing My Song. Mm-hmm. That one, it was so sad when it was the beginning of the season. And I feel it really set the tone of how dark everyone was, in a dark place everyone was, and they were really trying to figure themselves out. And I always just think about that. I revert to that. So, yeah, that was mine.
I also chose No One Else Is Singing My Song. I chose it because, one, again, we got a great group number.
Yeah.
And two, I liked the message of that we always feel like we're alone in these situations, right. And we're not, like, somebody else has gone through it.
And might be feeling the same way you're feeling at the same exact time, too. You know, when you think you're in the darkest place ever. Exactly. And when you talk about it, more people are willing to share their story, you know. But my honorable mention for that, though, can I say that now, was I Want to Be a Child Star. I love that. I love that whole scene or whatnot. I think that, yeah, that's definitely my honorable
mention. And we want to be clear, we love all the songs. Exactly. And it was so hard to pick. Like, I was going through so many songs. Like, I love this song, and I love this song, and I love this song. But these are just, like... We had to make a choice, and these were the most standout from each season for us personally.
Oh, last one. Last honorable mention. Season one, Sexy Getting Ready song.
Come on.
That's it.
Let's talk really... I'm going to save the concert special for news and gossip because I feel like we have a segue into that with that. So let's get into our news and gossip section.
All right.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Do you want to go first?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, like I mentioned, I had two pieces. One was the whole, they always knew that this was going to be the ending of it, and the whole six words. Mm-hmm. But another one was, everyone's still wondering what happened to Santino. And I thought he was going to walk out on stage when Skylar Astin was singing a solo for this live special. But he didn't. And they had both Rachel and Aileen had an interview with Entertainment Weekly, and they mentioned that there was no bad blood. He just had scheduling issues between what was happening with season two and three, the uncertainty basically of.
And we know now that he's doing Tootsie on Broadway, which is keeping him very busy.
Exactly.
But we both mentioned how he hasn't tweeted at all.
So I brought this up before the camera started rolling. I was like, oh, this is an explainer. Everything's fine, blah, blah, blah. And then Brie mentions, yeah, he hasn't tweeted. I'm like, you know what? I checked on Friday to see if he tweeted anything either.
He hasn't tweeted anything since he left the show.
So I don't want to,
I don't know. It might mean nothing, but we thought we had to mention it, that it seemed a little weird. I guess we will see. They are still doing that two-part
at the Radio City Music Hall
in May. So I guess we'll see if he makes an appearance there. Because I also thought he would show up and then I was like, you know what? Maybe it's because of Tootsie he can't. Mm-hmm. But if they're in New York...
I mean, it's just a Broadway subway right away.
Because it would be so great to have Skylar Astin singing a song and then all of a sudden him come out over him. Oh,
that would be really cool.
Oh, I would die.
Yeah.
My bit of news also has to do with the concert, which will lead us into talking a little bit about the concert with you guys, is that she obviously had to make some song cuts. So she was talking about why she chose some of the songs she did. She said they had just been on tour, and this is Entertainment Weekly as well, and that they were talking about pitching to Netflix or Amazon a live special of the show, and then that's when they came up with the idea to do this live concert special for CW instead. They taped at the Orpheum Theater, and they had a packed full house of cosplaying fans to add some twists in the series, best loved tunes. And then she talks about how she took 157 songs and broke it down to what we were going to cover, because that's so much to cover for a 42-minute special. Right. And she said that they picked what songs from the tour that they did that worked really well and that they performed really well.
Mm-hmm.
The standard we had for pretty much every song was making sure any song we did elevated the original song in some way or brought something new to it, because we already did the most perfect versions of the songs in the TV show. She notes this idea was, what can we do joke-wise or scenery-wise in the live show that will bring something new to it? Then it was a matter of what are the songs that we have to do that are emotional tent poles of the series, mm-hmm. and making sure all of the series regulars had a song.
Right.
So all of this came together as she was like overseeing everything to do with the end of the show, yeah. too. So she's working on both of this at the That's same time, crazy. Which is crazy.
Yeah.
And she was involved in picking every single song. And the script of the special is credited to her, Jack, and Adam, who are the two of the songwriting partners.
Right, and she mentioned them in the live show.
Yeah. So ultimately, the special was about the essentials, and though she was tempted to bring back some guest stars like Josh Groban and Lea Salonga, there wasn't enough time.
And I think it's fine. 42 minutes, I think she got it down-packed right.
Yeah.
She did what she had to do. I'm glad that Tim got to talk about the buzzing behind the bathroom door.
She said, basically she said we barely had time to make room for our leads to sing songs in 42 minutes, so she couldn't.
If they didn't give Paula that lead song, I would have been mad, but they gave Paula that song.
Yeah, and then she says it really is this freight train of song after song after song, and there still aren't essential songs in the show. We were going to do the Mouth of Love triangles, and we just didn't have the production bandwidth. Tight timing also meant that Skylar Astin sang his new original song as Greg 2.0, the Bruce Springsteen-inspired I Hate Everything But You. As opposed to revisiting any of original Greg songs like Settle For Me or Hey West Covina.
And I'm glad they did that.
Though Bloom teases that things of this nature are still a possibility at their upcoming live shows at Radio City Music Hall. If this had been a 90-minute special, we would have had a different conversation right now. She admits this. The thing is, we wrote such a stellar song for Skylar to do, and we'd never done that on tour before because this was a new song. It would have been sad not to do it.
Right.
So she did tease that there might be some old Greg songs of this new one, so maybe we are getting Santino there.
And it would only be right for Santino to sing his songs.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
So we only have about 1 minute. Mm. So really quickly, just what were your overall thoughts on this concert special?
Overall thoughts on the concert special, everyone sounded amazing, and everyone looked really, really happy, which was really nice to see. I feel like everyone was giving it their all. They were having a good time, though, at the same time. So it didn't seem like it was stressed and things were calculated too much. Everyone was just doing it because, I mean, it's episode 18. Honestly, it's their last episode. And they got to do this live for their fans in L.A. at the Orpheum Theater, and it was a packed house. I think the energy just felt right, and they had a great time, and everyone sounded amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. I was wondering if Josh was a little sick or Vincent because he seemed like a little.
He had to like run around and spin and beat things with his head.
I'll just say like my highlights, which there was so many, but like really quickly, a list of my highlights would be her going up in the pretzel.
Yes, towards the beginning number, definitely.
Her parents.
Yeah,
was hilarious.
Come on, Dad.
Come on. The whole sex montage.
Yes.
With all the jokes inside of it, from the period pads to Scott not lifting her and everything.
Yes.
George. Mm-hmm. Them cutting off George was hilarious as well.
George thought he had his time for a second. Really quick.
And him putting all of them in their place and being like, yeah, you're damn right you will.
Right. Get me my mic stand.
There's so many. I'm trying to think of like a fifth one that was like, them all tap dancing.
Oh, that was really good.
That was awesome.
Yeah,
and bringing in Dr. Akopian for
that number.
That number, yeah.
Yeah. So overall, I think it was great. I think they did a really great job.
I'm excited for the Radio City Music Hall one.
Exactly. And I really hope that they
air it.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'm sure they will.
Okay.
I feel like they have to.
Yeah. They should air it. If CW doesn't take it, Netflix.
Right.
Come on.
Right.
Netflix, CW, somebody.
Everybody, thank you so much for being a part of this with us for the past 4 years.
I wasn't
on the show in the very beginning because I was working, and then I jumped on.
Yes.
Nino's been here since day one. We've lost some people along the way. I'm going to go ahead and just shout out Tayron for being here this season. He wasn't able to because he's on tour right now doing his comedy. But I know his favorite song from season 4 would be It's Not. I'm Not Sad, You're Sad. So we'll just shout that out for him.
Right.
But really, it means so much to us that you guys have been here with us. I want to shout out everybody that's been in the chat today. We had Kay Loud, Jim Jam, Yamil Jury. Sorry, I have not great eyesight anymore. and we love hearing from you guys. And the ones that weren't silent and weren't in the chat but still watching along, thank you guys as well. For the very last time, Nina, where can they find you to keep up with you?
Well, first off, also thank you so much to Renee. Ariel.
Oh, who, and Trinae.
And Trinae. Yes. And Kanika was on for a little bit as well, too. So thank you guys for being a part of the show as well.
And all everyone that guested on
all
it.
All the guests that were here. Gabrielle, Vincent, Steve, Dr. Copian, everyone who came on. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Once again, guys, it's your boy, Nino. You can catch me at Nino Linero on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. You can catch me on Mondays on the On My Block After Show here on AfterBuzz TV and various MTV shows. So definitely check it out, guys.
And you guys can find me at Brie, B-R-I underscore Phipps, P-H-I-P-P-S on Twitter and Instagram. And on Tuesday, I will be doing the new Fosse Verdon show at 8 p.m. PST for anyone that still wants to go along the Broadway train and still talk music.
There we go. Oh, my God, this is it.
Thank you guys so much.
Bye, guys.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.